FM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Later this hour, NFL insider Vinny Bonsignor jumps on the show. If you missed any of the program today, David Vasse, great Dodger information, as always, on during the noon hour. Dan Wojcicki, LA Times. We talked Lakers during the 1 o'clock hour. Download the free iHeartRadio app, because if you do that, you can listen to the podcast. Kevin puts it up the minute we get off the air. All 3 hours are there. Check it out if you missed any of it. And if you've got it, wherever you're traveling, you can stream the show live. So make sure you have the iHeartRadio app. And now to provide some spirituality and continue this week in the right direction, we welcome on Vic the Brit with the Daily Haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Fred.
Hello, Vic.
Good afternoon, Rodney Pete. Still basking in that Riley afterglow.
VTB.
It's a new dawn at Heritage Hall.
Yeah, buddy.
So what did Lincoln Riley do? Lincoln Riley do today? Has he been out recruiting? Got anybody to sign? What's he doing today?
He's out recruiting. He's happy that he doesn't have to really utilize that private plane very much to go out of state to recruit.
Yeah, I know. He was hanging out with Colin this morning. Did they give him a house, too? Was that part of the deal?
That's what the report was. The report was they bought his two houses down in Oklahoma and then purchased him another house worth about $6 to $8 million here.
We got people that got houses all over the place, Fred.
So they bought his houses there.
Yep.
Gave him the money.
Yeah. Yep.
Then they bought him a house here.
Yep.
So he's not going anywhere for a while. Did they say they were paying him $12 million a year?
I don't know if that's been officially released yet. I think $110 million over the life of the contract was the initial report. But because they're private, we really won't know for a while.
Rodney, but Rodney, you know guys that could write that check right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Drop in a bucket.
It's expensive to change a culture, Fred.
Yeah, Fred.
Bottom of a house. Wow. That's impressive.
What are two houses in Oklahoma? $200,000?
What do you think they do in the SEC? They got ranches and stuff like that. They give coach. Come on. Let's be honest. Deans of schools get houses, and presidents and provosts and all those people get houses. Why not the head coach?
And two mansions in Norman, Oklahoma. How much do you think that cost, Fred?
Yeah.
$75,000
Exactly.
$80,000
I think the total of the two mansions was just over $1 million, by the way.
So those are big mansions for there.
Yeah,
we're talking
there,
Norman.
Absolutely.
We're talking Norman, Oklahoma. Now, you know, basically, he's living a dream. I mean, he's 38 years old. Mule Shoe, Texas.
Right.
He was born in Mule Shoe. Doing college at Texas Tech in the middle of nowhere, Lubbock. All you get is tumbleweed. You guys know it's a tumbleweed area. And now he's going to paradise, Southern California. I mean, Riley is in heaven. It's heavenly, man. You know, he's going to do great work at SC, but look at
before
his lifestyle change. It's
before the edited verges, he said, when I heard the offer after the game, and I talked to my wife, and we talked it over before I could get everything out. She said, yes!
Let's see. Norman, Manhattan Beach.
Pack your
Where
bags.
Should I live?
Pack your bags.
Where do I want my family to live? Norman, with Norman, Oklahoma, or Manhattan Beach, California.
Yeah.
And they're paying me $15 million a year for who knows how many years.
And especially if I don't have to pay for the house.
Right. They're buying us a house.
Yeah.
They're buying us a house.
By the way, you can fly anywhere you want to go on the private jet.
Right. anywhere you want to go. They bought our houses. They're buying us a house and giving us $100 million.
Life of Riley, man.
Amen.
It's like, what the hell are you waiting on, honey? Sign that contract.
he didn't even get to finish it. Yes. Oh, God.
But, honey, I got the Oklahoma State game to prepare. Sign it! Are you nuts? Get us the hell out of this hellhole. Anyway. Well, good for Riley and the family. Welcome to Southern California. He's executive producer. His knowledge is vast. His work ethic is undeniable. He's Kevin Figgis.
King Flavor? Yeah. Come on now.
Every sound you hear, every sweet nuance of audio, it's from his sonic arc. It's Ronnie Fazio.
King of the ponchos, VTB, nah.
Yeah. You know me, I love rocking the poncho. I just want to exude on the Dodgers.
Vic.
Yes, it was a rough day.
No, Vic, wait. Do one more time. Sign it. Do that again.
What was that, Fred?
When Lincoln Riley's wife told him to sign it. Just say it like that again.
What the hell are you waiting for? Sign it! Get me the hell out of Norman!
Sign it!
Sign it!
L'chaim! To life!
Oh. 5 years at Norman, I know you made Oklahoma a dynastic Big 12 institution in football, but it's time to go. Lincoln, let's go.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead about the Dodgers. I just wanted to hear you yell that one more time.
It was a rough day yesterday.
Yeah.
And you guys have made very salient points. Number one, Corey, it's a two-way street with Corey Seager. And David Vesey, of course, is the pulse of the Azul. And he talked about that $250 million deal 8 years, you know, earlier in the season that they turned down. Remember, it's a two-way street. Corey Seager could have been a Dodger. I don't care how much more money Texas paid him, but he was a Dodger, nurtured, of course, as I say, by the Dodgers' mother's milk. And to just throw it all away, I'm going to say throwing it away for $80 million.
What are you saying then?
I'm saying he had a choice. He could have stayed in Los Angeles, but he didn't. He turned his back.
He turned his back on the Dodgers. You turned your back on $80 million?
It's not all money. I understand money is such a pivotal factor. And, of course, usually overrides
all
everything.
Money. It's not all money to the people ain't been offered that money.
I understand what you're saying. But still a two-way street. And Corey Seager, again, he is the client of Scott Boras, not the other way around. Boras works for him. If he wanted to be a Dodger, he says, Scott, you know, who's at every game, Dodger game. I mean, let's face it, his network is unbelievable. The Scott Boras network of connections. And work your magic and keep me a Dodger. Let's make it a big, fat contract, but keep me a Dodger. It didn't happen. So I'm just saying it's a two-way street. Scherzer, he is an aging ace for hire. And obviously the Mets bank is insane with, you know, Cohen, the billionaire, has insane money to throw around. You know, 3 years, 140? 130. Like $43 million a year, which is the most ever for a single annual contract. The Mets had to make a splash in New York. He wants to stay relevant in New York. With the Yankees on the slide, the Mets have a chance to do something. So he had to make a gigantic splash in the polluted Hudson River, and he did. That's a gigantic signing of Max Scherzer. But of course, as Dodger fans, we've lost, you know, two studs. But you know the way of Friedman, he will reload. He does it every year. There's no need to freak out. And the silver lining is, Now there's enough money. Not that there wasn't enough money before, but now big time De Niro for Chris Taylor, who is a must. Pry Kenley Jansen away from his suitors.
What is he? Here we go.
And of course, here I know it's go. Not a question of money with Kirsch, but there's enough money, you know, to make Kirsch a very nice offer. And don't forget Corey Knebel. I want to get Corey Knebel back in the loop as well in the bullpen.
Okay.
I know he's being hotly wooed as well, hotly schmoozed by a lot of people.
Yeah. Are you checking the 40-man roster now, Vic? You're going down everybody?
I'm just trying to make, you know, a thorough report as much on the camera before I get to sumo.
Oh, it's a sumo day, too?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much. Oh, sumo yeah. wrapped up in Fukuoka.
Yeah.
Terutsu Fuji. 15-0. A perfect two-week run at the dojo.
Big man. Put it on him.
Incredible Mongolian.
And then some.
Yeah.
You know,
he's Mongolian?
He is Mongolian as well. Of course, Hakaho is retired.
Wait, is the ho still working at the door?
He did the first night.
Yeah.
And then... Did everybody...
Is the ho working at the door? Fred, yeah. I didn't really...
The first
that
night.
The ho's still then, working at the door?
Right.
And they moved him into the broadcast room.
Barry's working at the door, then out back, so...
Well, is the ho giving it up to people at the door, Vic?
He moves into the broadcast booth.
Wait a minute.
He did.
Wait, Vic. Hakaho, sumo legend, the ho of the dojo, retires after getting injured. First tournament after retirement, they made him work security at the door. That's why the ho was at the do.
For show.
Right. Then, after the first night, they put him on the television broadcast.
Deeper into the tournament, maybe day seven.
Did they just realize that he was working security and said, oh, man, you want to come up and be on the broadcast? Why would they have a guy working security who was a legend and retired and then invite him to the television broadcast to do it the rest of the way?
It's an excellent question, Fred, but this is the way
Ho's gotta work
of sumo.
Fred.
This is the way of sumo. In other words, you just don't go to the... to the stable and become head coach of a sumo stable. You must do the
sumo stable.
Very fundamental jobs.
Well, the whole work the sumo stable.
Of course, that's his ultimate gig will be to coach absolutely. The kids.
The whole got to do what a whole do.
I hear
and
you.
Do it well. It's like cleaning a toilet, Fred. You don't do it half ass. You do it with incredible effort and alacrity. And you put all your effort into it. Well, you must be humble.
They
teach you to be humble, Fred.
You clean the toilet half-assed,
no,
Fred.
You have to do it with alacrity. Vic, that would be like Drew Brees retires from the New Orleans Saints. NBC says, you're going to operate the elevator here at 30 Rock for 3 weeks.
Before we bring in studio.
Then you're going to come on and be an analyst?
You know, that's a good idea, Fred, actually. In other words, do the jobs, the so-called, fundamental gigs, and that trains your mind
to talk about football
into the big chair.
Vic, clean toilets, talk about football.
Yes, it's just a different culture, Fred. It's the way of sumo. It's the way of Zen. The only Zen you get is the Zen you bring. Hit me.
Okay. You know, Vic, I used to clean urinals.
I as well, Fred. And I put my back into it, man, like it was the last urinal I was going to clean.
That's something to be proud of, Vic.
Oh, my God.
It really is. And it really is.
You used to put your back in. You used to put your back in into it. What, Vic?
Because it was the last urinal. Like it was the last urinal he was ever going to clean. I didn't give it that much effort, Vic. I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
I kind of slacked on my cleaning, but I got the job done.
In your mind.
Did you really clean urinals?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to work
I remember
the
cleaning
club.
The bathrooms at Baskin Robbins, one of my first jobs in high school.
That's a nasty job.
I would scoop, which the frozen Baskin Robbins, of course, Jamocha almond fudge was my flavor. And then, of course, my responsibility was the entire store as an assistant manager. And, I would go into the bathrooms and make them, sparkling clean.
Yeah, but, Vic, you wouldn't do that and then come back out and scoop.
No, not at all. Of course not. I would.
What?
I would clean my. You know, that was the last thing I did at night before.
Oh,
I went home.
Oh, scoop ice cream. Come on, scoop.
Yeah, I was a scooper. Yeah. I respect all scoopers at all ice cream stores. In fact, it's tough because it's frozen. People want their ice cream now. And you got this scooper that you put it in, you know, in some hot water, and then you hit the ice cream. It's not really at the great temperature yet because you just took it out of the freezer, so it's still pretty ice cold. And you got to make that first dent, and you really got to you work your muscles.
What you do with the scooper first? You got to put it in hot water.
Hot water.
Yeah.
But Vic, given how cold that ice cream is, honest to God, you could develop like carpal tunnel. You could blow out a ligament in your wrist.
You gotta be in shape, Fred.
Yeah.
And you build up muscle, you know, as the scoopers will tell you. You know, at Baskin or wherever you go. They have great muscles in that scooping arm.
So they train for that job?
Not really.
Oh.
You kind of learn on the gig.
Okay. What was, you know, for our listeners who might be looking for a job and interested in pursuing a career in scooping, what might be one of the pitfalls of that job, Vic?
Well, I got to warm up in everything.
Yeah.
Repetitions.
Yeah.
Repetition.
Mm-hmm.
But before you hit the actual process of scooping.
Yeah.
I'd scoop in the back a little bit, in the back room. I would do a little back room scooping. I didn't say back room stupping. I said scooping.
No, we understood.
Okay.
Whatever you call it, Vic, it's cool.
Yeah, whatever your definition is. So you would...
Not to say there wasn't back room stupping back in the day in the...
Yeah, no. So, Vic, you would stand there with a scooper and just go through the motion to warm up before you burst through the door onto the floor with your hat and your apron... With a smile to the customers?
Oh, yeah. Friday nights, when it got really crowded, I would definitely make an appearance. I just didn't come out of the back room with my apron and a scooper. I was saying, be our fan. So I'm feeling you.
Okay.
He said, what did you say? When you came out of, you came out of cleaning the urinals.
No, this is prior.
This is prior.
Prior
this
to
is pre.
Cleaning the urinals, then you got your apron on.
I just clocked in. When they used to clock in, remember that?
Yeah.
With the cards. You put your card under some cockamamie clock.
Yes.
It's called a time clock.
Time clock, yeah. Went to time clock.
Yep.
Aren't those, like, archaic at this point?
We used to rotate the guys to get there early and punch everybody's clock.
Smart. There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The USC way.
Hey, I didn't say it was USC. Why'd you have to say it was USC?
I think it's universal.
Why'd you have to say it was USC?
Because when's the last time you had a job where you punched a time clock?
At USC?
Hey, Vic, you ever make those root beer floats at BR?
Oh, yes. Good call, Fred.
Yeah, those are always popular.
Sensational.
Yeah.
The banana splits.
Mm.
In fact, I had a coffee milkshake yesterday from BR.
Did you? Let me tell you what's overlooked in the ice cream world, and it's very disappointing to me.
Mm.
The old Dairy Queen Dilly Bar.
Oh, the Dilly.
I'd look for the Dilly. I can't find it.
Oh, the Dilly.
I want the Dilly.
Hey, Dairy Queen's a good franchise.
Oh, I love the Dilly Bar.
Yes.
You can't find
DQ,
it?
Man. DQ.
DQ.
Yep.
DQ was good.
My brother-in-law, the late, great Morton Haber, the orthodontist who married my beloved sister, Pat Haber, who now sells, tchotchkes on Columbus and 78th Street for the last 30 years in the flea market on Sundays.
Yes. Does she make a living?
City. Yes.
Okay.
You know, everyone, the kids today, you know what they're buying?
What?
They're buying used clothes. That's it. 2 years old, 3 years old. Not vintage anymore. It's like just... 2 years, 2 years old clothes, because the generation doesn't want to promote waste in the atmosphere, and the more clothes that are made promotes more pollution. So the kids are just buying old clothes.
If that's the case, Rob Parker should be a billionaire.
Exactly. I mean, he's on the mark. But the kids are just buying you 2 years old clothes, 3 years old clothes. That's what they're buying in the flea market. Is okay. that wild?
Yeah.
You know, not like, you know, 50s leather jackets or, you know, crazy vintage beautiful items, just 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
I find it very positive vibes there.
But they're not selling underwear.
Underwear, no.
Right.
You know, shirts,
yeah.
pants,
yeah. Mm.
sweaters.
Mm.
Just, you know, save Mother Planet, man. Save the planet. I know it's a hackneyed phrase, save the planet, but save our planet.
Okay. Good idea, Vic.
And this haiku for you is from one of the...
Oh, my God, stop. Stop. Huh? Stop. I swear on my mother's grave. We're talking about selling used clothes, right?
Yes.
I just look at Twitter. Rob Parker tweets he's selling used clothes.
You're not lying, Fred. I'm on Twitter as well. It's the latest thing, 30 seconds ago. Get yours, no way, no how. Odd Couple skull caps on sale. Holla if you're interested.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Fred, I'm going to have to get one of those for you for Christmas.
You know what?
Would you wear it, Fred, if I got one for you?
I'd wear one, but here's the thing with Rob. As Jonas Knox told us, you know, once Rob was selling shirts he made, and he paid for shipping, so it would be shipped to him, Rob walked upstairs at Fox, took the shirt out of a box, and handed it to him. He kept the shipping money and just gave him a shirt. He charged him for shipping.
What?
Yeah. Okay. You haven't heard this? Jonas Knox tries to help Rob. Because, by the way, Rob sells everything. And every day, Rob is selling something new. Rob's got an idea 100 times a day. So he came up with these No Way, No How shirts, I think. And he's working with Jonas. And Jonas says, hey, Rob, I want to tell you, I saw that you're selling the shirts. I'm a good teammate. I'm a good friend. I wanted to help you. I bought one of the shirts. I sent it in. I paid for it. I paid for shipping. I bought it. Rob goes, God, that's so nice of you, Jonas. He goes upstairs. He doesn't offer him a free shirt, by the way. He goes upstairs. He takes a shirt out of the box where he's keeping them, walks back downstairs and goes, here, Jonas, you can have the shirt now. And Jonas goes, yeah, but I paid for shipping, too. Did he give him the money back? No.
No, working no the margins, way, Fred. No how.
No way, no
working
how.
The margins.
Rob, Jesus.
He's trying to keep his profit at, you know, at a higher percentage.
That guy.
Oh. So use clothes. That's hot.
No, that's hot, Vic. All right, who's the haiku today?
Well, it's from Busan.
Okay.
One of the leaders of the haiku industry, if not the titan.
Right, the guy that was a drunk.
Why do you go down that path, Fred?
Because we've learned about Busan.
He's more than someone that had a few pops from time to time, Fred. He's much more than that, but you seem to focus on him being drunk.
Well, and we also know that, you know, he was experimental in his personal life.
Yes.
We learned that as well.
He was an adventurer, Fred. He was free.
Yes. Well, what does the free man have to offer today?
This haiku for you on this Tuesday, the last day of November, if you can believe it, November the 30th. An old bagworm cocoon next to this hangs two plum blossoms. A feeling you! How prophetic of Busan to understand the Dodger situation in the offseason. Plum blossoms are hanging. And Andrew Friedman is going to pluck them.
What was the beginning of it? An old bagworm?
An old bagworm cocoon.
An old bagworm cocoon.
Yeah, Max Scherzer is a bagworm cocoon.
Max. Wait.
So you're Max Scherzer's an old bag?
I called him a bagworm cocoon, yeah. You know why?
Wow.
He left the Dodgers to go to the Mets? Come on.
For $43 million a year, Vic.
Yeah, Vic. You blame him?
43.3, I believe.
Okay, well, still, Vic, good Lord. You're going to say no to that?
Yes.
No, you're not.
Come
Vic.
On, Vic.
Yes. Keep...
Vic, imagine how many gongs you could buy with that money.
How about that?
How many haiku books you can buy?
You call me old school.
Call you old school?
You can call me old school, but this whole free agency thing really digs into my soul and hurts me.
Oh, Vic.
Oh, no.
No, Vic.
I understand the business has evolved. It's all money. But it's not always about all money.
Crazy Tuesday.
A little bit. Yeah.
So let me be clear.
Yeah.
So we learned that the whole work the front door.
Did you read this tweet?
The whole work the front door. What?
All right. Can I just do it?
Yes, please.
Let me do it. So Manny and Gardena. Here's what he says. Quote, unquote, Fred Rogan to VTB. Did the hoe work the dough? Rodney, hoe's got to work too. VTB, don't half-ass cleaning the toilet. I think he pretty much captured it.
Yes, he did.
Hoe's got to work too. All right. Let's bring out our buddy Vinny Bonsignor, NFL insider. Vinny, how are you today?
I'm doing good. And by the way, first of all, I got to say congratulations to Rodney. By the way, Ho's got to eat too. I'm just saying
yes,
that.
They
I know,
do.
I know
yes,
Rodney
they
knows. Yeah. I know Rodney knows
they gotta eat.
What I'm talking about from the great movie. But aside from that, Rodney, congratulations. I know USC flexed majorly this week, and congratulations. I know. I would imagine you're pretty happy with the hire.
I am. I am. Ryan. And as Vic just said, you can't half-ass it, and the Trojans did not half-ass this hire. They went
exactly.
They went all in and got him and got their guy, which was even more impressive is how stealth they did it. You know, Benny, you've been around. You know, we often talk about the Rams and the way they moved over the years and being stealth with it, the Clippers and Steve Ballmer being stealth, some of the things they do. You don't hear anything out of it, but it was relatively quiet the way they kept this with USC. So impressive, and they got the right guy.
I do too. I think it's a game changer, not just for USC, but also for the conference.
Yep.
It's nice to see the West Coast flexing their muscles again. So it's a great thing.
Yep. All right, Vinny, I'm going to give you three teams. Three. You tell me which one is not going to make the playoffs. All right?
Oh, okay.
Rams, Chargers, Raiders. Which one will not make the playoffs?
I knew you were going to ask that. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think that I'm going to go with the Chargers, but it's down to the Chargers and the Raiders. I think the Rams are going to be okay. I think they'll get their mojo back at some point here. Good stepping stone for them against the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up. They've got a lot of talent, too much talent for them not to to make the playoffs. But I think that last wild card spot is probably going to go down to the Chargers and the Raiders. And that last home game for the Raiders, or last game of the season, is in Las Vegas against the Chargers. I have a feeling that things are going to, you know, go all the way to that game, and I'm going to give the Raiders the edge in that game.
Isn't it crazy, Vinny? We talk about this a little bit every week about how crazy the league is this year. You know, we had the Raiders left for dead, you know, prior to Thanksgiving, and you were talking about going down there, and you know, it was a big, big game because to see if they could get it turned around. The Cowboys, you know, at one point where people were saying the best team in football, the Raiders go down and beat them. The Rams at one point were flying high, and then, you know, they get crushed by Tennessee and then crushed by San Francisco and lose to Green Bay. And where are they now? I do agree with you that they'll find it again. Chargers at one point where we feeling we're the best team in L.A. when they had it rolling.
Right.
And so now it's just I just don't know anymore. And here we come. And here comes the 49ers. I mean, the 49ers right now are a team I don't think a lot of people want to see. Vinny. So just in general, the league is crazy right now.
No, I totally agree. And just as you start saying that about the 49ers, they're just as liable to stumble and lose a couple of games in a row again as well, because we've seen that as well. We've seen the ups. We've seen the downs. We've seen teams get on runs. We've seen teams hit the skids. And there's six games left, which is still kind of an eternity in the NFL. And so there's plenty of time for both things to happen for everybody, really. Right now, the Patriots are everybody's, you know, big pick. It wouldn't shock me if they stubbed their toe along the way. And, you know, what's been crystallized to me this year in particular is how much parity there really is, and so much of this comes down to, are you playing clean, efficient football or not? And in the Rams' case, you can make a case in all of their losses that so much of their demise has been their own undoing. You know, you can't give teams 14 points because, you know, you're throwing pick sixes and you're throwing interceptions and you're making committing silly penalties, not being able to convert fourth and one on your own side of the field. I saw the same exact thing happen with the Raiders during their three-game losing streak. It wasn't talent. They weren't out-talented, and I don't think that there's a lot of teams that are so much better than everybody else that you could say, well, they're just better than that team. Yeah, you know, you've got your Jacksonville Jaguars right now and your Detroit Lions of the world, but those are few and far between. Everybody else seems to be neck and neck in a lot of ways, and it really does come down to what you do. And right now, the Rams aren't doing the Rams at all. They're just stubbing their toes time and time again. But if they could get back to playing clean, efficient football, they could beat anybody on their schedule in any game, any place, anywhere. And I could say the same thing about the Raiders and really the Chargers as well. So there's so much parity, and it really does boil down to, are you playing clean, efficient football? And if you are, you're giving yourself a chance. If you're not, you've seen what happened to the Rams these last three games.
All right, Vinny. Thanks for coming on. I think you're spot on with your analysis, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
888-365-4450. Ow!
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
All right, you know, it's our season of giving, right? And today's a very special day. Any donation made today will be matched for a double donation to raise money for our veterans and families in L.A. A couple of people won in, Zeus and Stephanie. So before we get out of here, let's bring them on. Guys, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, thanks so much. We really appreciate you having us on.
Well, we're excited.
We appreciate you guys jumping on today. Of course, you created the YouTube channel called Empty Nesters. Obviously, you're Empty Nesters.
We are.
And proud of it.
And what's that world like? What's that world like, Deuce and Stephanie, of having or being empty nesters? I'm not there yet. I'm on my way.
Well, you know what? It's a process. At first, you're really sad. And then once you get over the grief and realize how free it is, it's pretty fun.
Yeah,
you become who you were.
Exactly.
That's right. We were individuals before we were parents. So we've reverted back, and it's actually been pretty fun. We're finding a lot of new experiences and realize we have a lot more rooms in the house that we can enjoy that we never were in before.
All right. Well, now, you guys know all too well about our season of giving here at the radio station and working with Dream Center LA, right?
Absolutely.
And what is it about that program that interests you?
So the great thing about it is, we've been following the Radiothon for years. I actually am a huge fan of the show. And so one of the great things is, since we started the YouTube channel, Empty Nesters Unite, our whole philosophy was, you know, fun, friends, travel, and giving back. And, you know, we want to do some things that are really helpful to our community. We've been blessed. And so it's really an opportunity to give back. And when I heard about this from Don Martin and Dave Weiss, our wonderful friends over at AM570, we said, you know what, this is a great opportunity. And we just wanted to give back. So we went on the site and hit the give button and donated $500, and just are challenging everybody else to give today and do whatever they can.
Yeah, so talk about that. So you came on the site, you did that, and now you're challenging all of your subscribers to match or to donate. Is that what you're doing?
It, Yeah, exactly. We're going to actually donate $1 for every new subscriber to Empty Nesters Unite on our YouTube channel, up to $5,000.
Wow.
And we are just challenging everybody to do that. And we're excited to, and we'll be happy to write the check. And it's for an amazing opportunity. We want to really help our veterans and help the community. Right. We actually just are really enjoying the process and have been able to, you know, been blessed. And we decided let's give back. And that's part of the mission that we're on, and giving back to our community and also to the veterans that have really done so much for us in our lifetime. So it's really just a great opportunity. And we're challenging everybody to go to Empty Nesters Unite on their YouTube channel. And for every new subscriber, we're going to donate $1 up to $5,000. And we are happy and excited. We want to write that check.
We want to write that check.
Well, we want you to write that check. So I hope everybody goes and subscribes today, because that would be terrific. Guys, thanks for coming on. You're both delightful, and we really appreciate what you're doing to help others.
Yeah, you know, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks for all the great work you guys are doing, and we appreciate it all as well.
And if you want to be involved in it, we thank Zeus and Stephanie. Go to dreamcenter.org/donate now. That's dreamcenter.org/donate now. Ronnie, Kevin, thank you. Great job as always. Rodney, we're back tomorrow. So it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing. Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times. Worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it. Brother got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on him. Blind to a broken man's dream. A hard lesson. Court cases keep him guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the pen. Making money over cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the scene. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say, to live and die in LA.